This is CBS. I am the world. I'm John Batchelor. Break the glass. Brett Ahrens is here. Walmart's had a very bad day on Wall Street, but that is the small story. The larger story is the consumer has lost confidence that things are going to improve anytime soon. The consumer confidence is now back to the beginning of 2021 without the vaccine and without hope of emerging from the pandemic. Brett, a very good evening to you. The Walmart surprise that suggests that retail is in retreat. Is it the price of gasoline? Is it the price of food? Is it inflation? Why stop shopping at Walmart? We are employed. Good evening to you, Brett.
Good evening. Yes, well, it's inflation broadly. Walmart said that essentially people are cutting back on discretionary purchases. What they are buying at Walmart is cheap food, which is, I suppose, Walmart's a very good place to go buy cheap food. And so that's been all right. So they're going to have sales and get rid of particularly a lot of clothing. They seem to have a lot of surplus clothes. And they are suffering like a lot of people with, they have found, first of all, that inflation has deterred the consumer. And second of all, of course, it's driven up a lot of their costs.
And what we have here is a global story of inflation, a cost of living, it's called in Britain and in Europe, and a global story of gasoline and diesel prices climbing so that no one can control. We see the war in Europe continuing. We see the shutdowns in China willy-nilly. And the question is the road ahead. The market is reflecting a recession. That's the big word. I understand it's controversial in Washington. It's not to me. How do you measure this right, this present economy right now? Are we in recession? Are we teetering in recession? And does it matter?
You know, this has to be the weirdest situation in which to answer that question that I think I can recall, because everybody is saying, oh, we're in a recession. The Atlanta Fed thinks we're in a recession. And yet, you know, the job market isn't showing it. While Walmart is suffering, Chipotle's come out with good results. Some other companies have come out with decent results. It seems to be a very mixed economy. What I find interesting is that sort of what's happening on Main Street is to some extent reflecting what's been happening on Wall Street, which is that last year's lockdown darlings, or the 2020 lockdown darlings, the Cathy Wood stocks, whether they are, you know, tech stocks like Netflix or Shopify, all these online people, or crypto for that matter, they're all suffering and laying people off. So everyone's saying, oh my gosh, it's a terrible, terrible jobs market because, you know, all these dot-com people are being laid off. Meanwhile, if you talk to anyone running a restaurant, they will tell you, I can't get staff. I mean, we have restaurants here in Boston that literally are closing certain days of the week during the height of the tourist season because they cannot get enough staff to come in to work. And they are offering, I think, pretty reasonable salaries. It's not just a case of you have to offer more money. They just can't find people. So you have this sort of very odd situation where, if you like, the lockdown darlings are in deep recession and the rest of the economy is doing okay.
We have a conflict in the Federal Reserve theory. The Federal Reserve theory I learned in the 20th century is that when the economy is weak, you loosen money. When the economy is strong, you tighten money. Right now, the intention of the Federal Reserve, we're told, haven't done anything yet, but we're told within these next hours, is to tighten money the more, another 0.75 point. And yet, this story of recession will not retreat. I read from the Wall Street Journal editorial about this conflict. Elizabeth Warren is right that Fed tightening could tip the economy into recession, but she thinks inflation is solely a product of supply chains in the Ukraine war. If that were true, inflation wouldn't have hit 7.9% before the war began in late February. Ms. Warren wants to absolve the Democratic policy agenda of spending and easy money of having played any role in the inflation debacle. But she has no answer for inflation now other than to hope it vanishes on its own. There's the challenge. Inflation is a monster, and it's chewing into everybody's confidence worldwide. It's not just here in the U.S. And the way to cure inflation, we're told, is the Federal Reserve to use its tools, like forward guidance, QE tightening, and also raise the rates. But that will put us into recession, which means unemployment, correct? Have I got all that right, Brett?
Yes. If it sounds crazy, don't worry. It sounds crazy at the Federal Reserve. They don't really know what to do either. They are in the situation where everyone is saying we're in a recession, but unfortunately, inflation keeps going up, and inflation would not keep going up if we were genuinely in a recession. At some point, inflation is a product of supply and demand. China, it'd be quite interesting to know what inflation would be if China weren't currently trying to lock things down to chase zero COVID. I mean, they've been sort of slowing their economy and shutting things down and doing disrupting all sorts of things. And that has certainly taken some demand out of the market. I suspect the commodities would be a lot higher if China was running at full throttle. So we don't really know. The Fed, unfortunately, is sort of trying to chase two balls at the same time. It is trying to bring down inflation, which requires a recession. And yet, so in a sense, they want a recession and they don't want a recession. They want a sharp slowdown. But we seem to have a dual-track economy where part of the economy, the growth, the high-growth part of the economy, the lockdown darlings are all slashing jobs and in deep recession. Meanwhile, the rest of the economy isn't in a recession at all. What we do see is we have seen sharp falls in a lot of commodity prices in the last month or so. That is usually an indicator that price pressure is going to start easing pretty quickly. I have said to you before, and I'll have to say it again, the bond market still does not see persistent inflation. It is still predicting inflation will average about 2.5% over the next 5 years. It may be wrong, but I don't know anything that the bond market doesn't know. It is interesting that the bond market still has not started panicking about inflation. There is still no sign that the Fed has lost control of the longer-term narrative of inflation expectations. Now, the market is, to some extent, expecting the Fed to bring forward this year's interest rate rises as far forward as possible. So there's actually some significant betting that tomorrow the Fed will announce a full 1 percentage point hike in interest rates. The main opinion on Wall Street is that the Fed is going to raise rates by 75 basis points tomorrow. What's interesting, though, is that the market is not anticipating, is not basically translating that into longer term rate rises. They are still thinking the Fed's going to stop around 3.5, maybe 3.75 as the short term interest rate by the end of this year. So essentially, they're betting that it's going to bring forward the interest rate rises rather than raise rates more overall.
I want to be difficult. The headline in the Financial Times, European gas prices soar after Russia deepens supply cuts. We know that Russia is using the energy weapon now and tormenting the economies of Europe. Rome, Draghi's gone. London, Boris Johnson is gone. Paris, Emmanuel Macron is under pressure from Marie Le Pen, who's friendly with Moscow. And Olaf Scholz doesn't know what he's doing. Is it nuclear energy to continue? Is coal-fired electricity to continue? Those are unusual facts that we have to deal with. The price of oil and the price of natural gas are not going to retreat as long as Russia is tormenting Europe. That has to be a story the Federal Reserve deals with. That's inflation, Brett. We've got riots in Chile, riots in Panama, riots in Sri Lanka over the price of fuel. That is driving everything worldwide. It certainly is going to drive our markets. Do you agree?
Well, yes, but here's the thing. The Fed doesn't control oil prices. If oil prices go up, this is what happened in the 70s. When OPEC put up prices, it actually caused a recession. But the Fed at the time misinterpreted the hike in oil prices as inflation and raised rates while the oil price hike slowed the economy. So the Fed ended up essentially raising rates into a recession. They might be doing the same thing this time around, and that's what a lot of people thought they were doing. But the reality is, so far, we haven't yet seen recession showing up in, for example, the jobless data. Perhaps it will, but so far, we haven't seen it. The Fed doesn't control oil prices. I still find it absolutely staggering that the West has blundered into a conflict with Russia with absolutely no backup plan or contingency plans for fuel supplies. It is absolutely staggering the level of incompetence that they should have allowed this situation to develop with no contingency plans, and there's a serious risk of major hardship in Europe, particularly the continent of Europe, this winter, if Putin essentially switches off the gas. They're in trouble.
Brett Ahrens, he is Market Watch Return on Investment. Break the Glass, Brett Ahrens, a special edition. We wait for the Federal Reserve decision. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.